Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. It's always a privilege to come down and fellowship, and I like preaching, so it's always a privilege to preach. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's amazing how the Lord works things out, isn't it? I mean, that song goes right along with the message. John chapter 14, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. The title is, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. How many here knew that the word let and the word trouble are the exact same Greek word? So really it is, trouble not your heart to be troubled. And so we want to look at that tonight. Trouble not your heart to be troubled. Jesus wants to strengthen us in our faith and in the fact that he, as God, is able to take care of us and our eternity. Now, many of us have come to leave our eternity with the Lord and in his hands, yet we are having trouble leaving our everyday-to-day lives in the hands of the Lord. The cares of the life have gotten us down because we have removed our eyes off the Lord and his ability to direct and control every step we take. Thus we have the command in verse number 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we ask now, as we come together, that you would challenge our hearts. Lord, we're here tonight because we want to hear from you. Father, we're here tonight because we want to fellowship with you. We want you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we want you to draw us closer to you. And Father, we want to come with all the cares and the troubles that may invade our life, knowing that you care for each and every one of us. We thank you for your love and your kindness. And Father, we just pray tonight that if there's anybody here that does not know Christ as Savior, that tonight they would come to know and understand the great love wherewith you love them. Father, if there's any here that are struggling, that are going through things and trials and challenges in life, Father, I pray tonight that you would work in their hearts and cause them to understand that you love them and you're here to take care of every trial and every test and every trouble and every struggle that every single one of us have. And that is the message that you want us to understand this evening, that you love us, and we don't need to trouble our hearts. We don't need to get worried. We just need to come to you. And so we just ask your blessing on this time. And Father, we pray that you speak to all of our hearts. We know your word never returns void. And we thank you for that. May you be glorified this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse number 1, we have the command. Again, let is the same Greek word as trouble, and thus Christ is telling us not to trouble our hearts to be troubled. Here we understand that anxiety, fear, distress of heart can be self-inflicted. And a lot of times it really is self-inflicted. There are wrong workings of our mind. As human beings, we tend to think on things in a negative sense or in a negative way. We look at things that haven't yet happened, and we start to worry all about them. I was just dealing with a lady this morning about that. It's funny because I think it was 2 Mondays ago. She comes to our house. She'll be there tomorrow, do Bible studies. She just got saved. And we were doing it on anxiety, and she looks at me. She says, Pastor, I got that down. I said, no, you don't. She said, I got that down. I said, no, you don't. Guess what she's been dealing with the last 2 weeks? Anxiety, and I mean really dealing with it. And I said to her today, I said, I thought you had it down. She said, no, I don't have it down. I said, I told you you didn't have it down. I said, you got to listen to what the Word of God says. You know, because every time we have Bible study, she keeps talking. You know, and if I go through the whole Bible study, we'll be there till tomorrow because she keeps talking. But I figured out a way to take care of it. You know, we're going to do the Bible study on Wednesday nights and she can't say a word, and then we're going to go over the same thing on Monday nights. Praise the Lord. But it's because it's what is needed. Many times the inward struggles we deal with are ones that we develop by thinking wrong. We need to learn to think properly. In fact, this is the very command Christ is giving us. Trouble not your heart to be troubled. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to be anxious about what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, what did he tell us in Matthew chapter 6? Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Anybody here got not enough going on in one day that they can go ahead and worry about tomorrow? And by the way, what you're worried about today happening tomorrow may never happen. It may never happen. And so you get yourself all worked up and you begin to put yourself through a lot of stress. You know, stress causes problems physically. It really does. And then you find out, oh, the Lord took care of that. I guess I didn't have to worry about it. Why shouldn't we be troubling ourselves? Why shouldn't we be anxious? Well, we shouldn't be troubled or anxious because of who we believed. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I often suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, he starts out in the verse, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Now, he knows who his eternity rests in, but you know what? The Apostle Paul knows who his everyday life rests in, too. Why isn't he upset? Why isn't he worried about the struggles he's going to go through? Because he knows who he has believed. Note, Paul committed his eternity, and maybe you have too, but Paul committed his daily life. The reason we shouldn't be troubled is because of who we have put our faith in. Believe there in the passage, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, means to have faith in, to have faith in. Jesus says that we shouldn't be troubled in our hearts because we believe in God. And because we believe in God, we can also believe or have faith in him. That's what he's telling us in the verse. Now, question, is Jesus trustworthy? Is he? Amen. Is he completely trustworthy? In fact, in what area could you say that Jesus can't be trusted? Anybody? Okay. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 20 says, we're in God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters within the veil, whither the forerunner for us has entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now this passage, Hebrews 6, 17 through 20, goes back to Genesis chapter 15. And in Genesis chapter 15, Abram at the time comes to God and he says, Lord, I don't have a son. I don't have an heir. And this Eliezer of my household is my heir. And God says to him, no, he's not your heir. I'm going to give a son out of your own body. That's how you're going to have a son. And as you read on, Abraham says to God, well, how shall I know? Now, God doesn't answer the question right away. He just says, Abraham, take thee a young bullock, a 6-month-old ram, and a he-goat, and 2 turtle doves. And so Abraham just automatically goes out, he obeys God, and he does all these things. And he lays them out, and God and the birds come, and he chases them away, and he does all those things. You know what that is? That's Hebrews 6:17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show on the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That's when God made the oath to Abraham. Abraham says, how am I going to know? Here's how you're going to know. I just make a covenant with you. And God passed through and made a covenant with Abraham. How do I know? Well, now Paul, as he's writing this in Hebrews, takes this very same thing about the promise and brings it into our day and talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you accepted Christ as Savior, you entered into a covenant. How do you know that covenant's real? Because God, by two immutable things — immutable means unchangeable — two immutable things in which it was impossible for him to lie. Now, what in the world did God do that would make it impossible for him to lie? Number one, his person makes it impossible for him to lie. Number two, his word makes it impossible for him to lie. And so, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Listen, everything we see here written today, and Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because he is just as trustworthy as the Father. And we'll see that as we go on. Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie hath promised before the world began. Aren't you glad God can't lie? So God can't lie, and Jesus is God, right? So Jesus can't lie. Amen. Jesus can be trusted, and we can put our complete faith in him. We don't need to trouble our hearts, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can be completely trusted. This is the first reason we should not let our hearts be troubled. The second reason we don't need to let our hearts be troubled or to be troubling our hearts is because of verses 2 and verse number 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. These verses are promises made to us from God. Now, he just said, we can trust him. So if these are promises, guess what? You can bank on it. You can bank on what he just said. Mansion there is speaking of the residence or an abode. Now understand that this is firsthand knowledge. Jesus, God the Son, says that in the Father's house are many mansions. He knows this because he has been there. It's firsthand knowledge. It's not secondhand. It's not the third hand or somebody else. It doesn't go down the line. This comes directly from the individual who has been there and seen these mansions in the Father's house. And Jesus said in John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Jesus has been there, is there right now. And he says that in the Father's house are many mansions. You know what's in the Father's house? Many mansions, guaranteed. They're there. He goes on to say that if it wasn't true, he would have told us. See, because God doesn't lie. So he would have told us if it wasn't true. Just Jesus is telling us that what he is saying isn't a lie. Remember, God can't lie. So rest assured in that the Father's house, there are many mansions. He then makes a promise to all those who believe in him, those who have put their faith and trust in him. Is your faith and trust in Christ 100%? Is that what your faith and trust is? Then he's telling you. He makes a promise to you today. Now, if you're here and your faith and trust isn't in Christ, let us show you how it can be. Okay? You have that opportunity to trust him who cannot lie. Jesus says in verse 2, I go and prepare a place for you. You being all those who believe or have put their faith in him. Jesus says to all who have put their faith in him that as God, the Son, he is going to prepare in the Father's house a place for you. The Bible tells us that those who are in Christ and overcome are going to be given a new name. Revelation 2:17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give the eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save in he that receiveth it. Do you know that on your mansion, on the door in heaven, is your name, your new name? Do you know that? Now think about that. It's already there. Your new name, my new name, is already on the door of the mansion because it's mine. It's been promised to me by the Son of God who cannot lie. Now, I don't know if you can't get excited about that. Maybe it's because your name isn't there. But if your name's there, you ought to be able to get excited about it and praise the Lord. You have a mansion in heaven. Do you believe that's true? Then why let your heart be troubled concerning the promises of God? Why do you have such a hard time believing what God says? Why are you troubled? Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus says that if he is preparing a place for us, then he said he was, if then he is going to come and receive us. That's the truth. He's preparing a place, and if you know Christ as Savior, the place is probably already prepared. He's going to come again, and he's going to receive you to himself, that where he is, you may be also. You know, as children of God, when you get to heaven, there will be no vacancy in the Father's house. Every mansion is going to be filled. Ain't that an awesome thing? There's no vacancies. Do you believe that Jesus is going to take us to his very dwelling place where he will dwell with us forever? Then why trouble your heart? You know, there is no promise that God has made that he will not keep. Do you know that? No promise. His promises are for us to claim and keep and find rest and comfort in. Jesus said that we can trust him. You believe in God? Believe also in me. He says in verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. He is first making it clear that he was leaving. However, he also makes it clear that where he's going is not an unknown place. He also makes it clear that those who believe in him are those who know the way to where he is going. Do you know that way? If we were to ask you tonight, do you know where Jesus is right now? Do you know how to get to where Jesus is right now? Do you know the way? He says those who know him know the way. If you're not sure, again, let us show you how you can be sure. Verse number 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? See, Thomas just didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. So Jesus tells him the way in verse number 6. He tells us there, he says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. I always like to ask lost people this question. If you can get to heaven any other way than Jesus, then answer me this one question. Why did Jesus die? And I tell them, if you can answer that, I'll get up and I'll walk out. I'll leave. I'll let you alone. Why did Jesus die? He died because there is no other way. And that's just the bottom line. There is no other way. So if you're here tonight and you think you have a different way, understand, there is no other way, or else Jesus died for nothing. Because if you can get there by doing good, Jesus did not have to die. If you can get there by going to church, Jesus did not have to die. If you could get there by being baptized, Jesus did not have to die. But Jesus had to die because you can't get there any other way. And that's what he told Thomas. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And note, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Very simple. Jesus is not questioning if Thomas knew him. He's stating the fact that because Thomas knew him, that Thomas should have known the Father also. Do you know God the Father? If you know God the Son, then you know God the Father. Look at the rest of verse number 7. It says there, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So Thomas knew, he just didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Philip then answers into the conversation. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It means it will satisfy us. Show us the Father, Lord, and it will satisfy us. Here we can see man's second biggest problem. His first is sin. The second is taking God at his word. Many times we want God to show us first. However, God wants us to have faith in what he says and to realize that believing in him is seeing. See, we think seeing is believing, but God says that believing in him is seeing. He says that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many people today want to see proof from God? Well, the truth of the matter is that God does give us proof. Did you know that? He gives us proof. The only reason you don't see it is because you don't want to do it his way. Remember, the passage is about believing. You believe in God, believe also in me. As a believer, are you walking by faith or by sight? As a believer, this is very important, because faith is believing God, and believing God is seeing. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance. You know what a substance is? To have a substance, it has to be real. Okay? In fact, Webster's dictionary tells us, a substance, that which really is or exists. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. Okay, you have anything you're hoping for? Are you hoping for that mansion? Are you? I mean, isn't all your hope in Christ by faith? But it goes on to say it is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of unseen things. Now, what's an evidence? Evidence is the proof of existence. The substance is proof that it exists. Evidence is the proof of existence. So here's how it works. God says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. How do you know that's true? Let me ask you, how many here know that's true? How? By faith, yeah. But how else? When you received Jesus as Savior, what happened? Who came in? Did you know he came in? I can remember the time when I received Jesus as Savior, and without a doubt, I know I was saved. Why? Because the faith of the unseen became visible when I received Christ. And that goes for every single promise. Did you know that? Every single promise. If you're going through struggles and trials in your life, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And until you by faith come to Jesus, you will never know that he has the ability to take every single problem that you're going through and give you peace, and a peace that reaches all the way to the soul. But once you, by faith, trust him, the evidence is there. Boom. In fact, Peter tells us that in 1 Peter about the promises of God, that they are, that when we take the promises of God, we become partakers of the divine nature. Well, what's he mean by that? Well, every time I take a promise that God has given me, and I, by faith, trust God on that promise, God takes that promise, and he works it in my life, and it becomes visible to me. Hey, wow. He really does do that. You know what that tells me about God? Whatever the promise is, he just revealed to me that he is that very thing. And now I just partook of more of who God is. I now understand God more than I understood him before I put my trust in him, for whatever reason, for whatever promise it is. Because there's a host of promises, you know that. And so you take a promise and you see God work it in your life. Wow. Now, if you wouldn't have had faith, you'd have never seen it. Faith is the sight of the unseen things of God. And so he wants us to have faith and to trust in him. Faith in God gives us the ability to see the unseen things that God has for us. Note verse number 9. Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Everything Jesus did before them was an evidence of the Father. Do you know that everything Jesus did, God the Father would have done the very same thing? Everything Jesus did when he walked on this earth, if they'd have switched places, the Father would have done the very same thing. In other words, Jesus said, "You see me? You're looking at the Father. Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." In verse 10, it says, "Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Do you believe in the equality of the Godhead? Do you believe that the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are equal? Okay. Do you believe that Christ is in the Father and the Father is in Christ? Then understand that everything that Jesus says and said is directly from God the Father, and everything Jesus does and has done, he did it by God the Father. Verse 11, it says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Here Jesus speaks concerning believing by faith or by sight. See, you either believe Jesus by faith in what he says or by looking at what he's done. In the case of Christ, you'll believe either way. You'll see the Father by believing by faith when you look at Jesus, or by believing by what he's done, you'll see it. Because what he's done, only God could do. And so he's telling them, either way, if you don't believe me by faith, believe me by what I've done. Now, do we get that opportunity? Does God change lives and people? Can he take a broken home and put it back together? Yeah, he can. Can he take a family that's disarray and bring them all back and make them work together in love and do what's right? He can take the vilest sinner and clean him up, can he? And now look around. How many works did God do right here? Yeah. See, believing by faith or believing by looking at what he's done and what he's doing and what he can do. Because the bottom line is, there is no other explanation for it. It could only be done by God himself. Everything Jesus did proves he was of the Father and the Father was in him. What God has said is evident in what he has done. Do you have faith in God? Has your faith in God evidenced itself in his working in your life? Then whatever you're facing today, trouble not your heart to be troubled. I mean, if Jesus said, casting all your care upon me, for he cared for you, then guess what? You can do that. Why? Because he cares for you. Bottom line. No, if he said all the promises that he made to us, you can believe in them. Okay, so if he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, guess what? Now, what's the first word in that? Come. See, there are requirements. God doesn't make a welfare system. Remember the disciples? Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. They left on shore and they were out in the sea and they were rowing, the Bible says. Now, he came in the fourth watch. Well, that's in the morning. So you know how long them poor guys were rowing? And the wind was contrary? And he would have done what? Passed by. But why didn't he? Because they cried out. And when he cried out, he was on the boat, and when he was on the boat, they were immediately on land. Now, what would have happened if he would not have cried out? It tells us he would have passed by. So if you're going through some trials and struggles in your life, come. You have not because you ask not. You see, we put ourselves through an awful lot when we got so much that God has given to us, so many promises that he's made for us, that we can come to him no matter what's going on in our life. He knows what's going on. And we get ourselves all worked up, and we get ourselves all stressed out because we take things and we start to think them through in our minds, and we blow them up bigger than they are. It's never bigger than the Lord, never bigger than what he can do with it. And it didn't even happen yet. Right? Really? How many times do you do that? You start going through something that didn't even happen yet. You're all worried about it. Anxiety comes in. You can't sleep. Why? Trouble not your heart to be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Listen, the biggest promise is, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the biggest promise, isn't it? Because if we don't have that promise, what do we got? And so every other promise, if he can do the biggest promise, he can do every other promise. He can take care of everything you're going through right now in life. He can take everything that you're going to face tomorrow. It's not a surprise. You know, James tells us, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Sounds contrary, don't it? Like, why would I count that joy? Why do I want to go through tests and trials? Because the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, complete, wanting nothing. The Bible tells us that God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You believe that? You believe that? God is working in you right now both to will and to do of His good pleasure. In other words, He wants the best for your life. In other words, He wants to strengthen you. He wants to make you stronger. He wants you to give you the ability to overcome whatever it is that's going to come your way. You don't know what's going to really come your way. And so God takes little steps for us and works in us the ability to overcome what we could have never overcome if He would just bring it. It's called growing. Growing is when you put your faith and trust in the Lord. Growing is when you take a promise and you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you say. And now He can't lie. In fact, what did He tell us in Malachi about tithing? Didn't He make a charge? Go ahead and see. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Hey, go ahead. Do it. That's every promise. Every promise. Try me and see. Don't we have it good? You know, we don't need to worry about it. There's nothing we can do about it anyway. You know, people ask me, how you doing? I say, I'm doing fine as far as I know. You know, I don't know. I could be dying, but, you know, hey, what? Big deal. Right? What's that going to do? In fact, we're all dying. You know, bottom line is, we're all dying. It's just some of us will get there quicker. If God decides. And if He decides, what are you going to do about it? Really? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to waste the rest of your life worrying about it? Or are you going to say, you know what? Well, okay, time's short. Let's get going. Let's get everything we can go and do everything we can for the Lord. Let's live the life that God has allowed us to have right now. Jesus said what? I've come that you might have life and that you might have it. Is that true? Did He really mean that? You mean you and I can have an abundant life? We can't, not just life, we can have an abundant life, right? He said it. He can't lie. So it's true. So then why don't we take Him up on it? See, that's the bottom line. You believe in God? Believe also in me, He says. You can trust me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I know because I was there. I seen them. And that goes for every other promise that God has given us in Christ. I'm not talking about promises that God has given to Israel. Sorry, they're not ours. They're Israel's. But we don't need theirs because we got all the other promises that God has given to us. He's given us a promise of a home in heaven. He's given us a city to look forward to and to look to. Those are things that we have. Those are things that we can concentrate on. Those are things that we can use in our life to stand. He says if you resist the devil, he'll do what? So why don't we do it? Think about it. Why don't you do it? I mean, don't you want to send him running? I do. Man, I want to see him get going. And God says we can. He says if we take the whole armor of God and put it on, we'll be able to do what? Right? So why not do it? I mean, anybody here like falling? No. Any believer here like falling into sin? No. So then put on the armor. He said it would take care of us. It would protect us. He even gave us the shield of faith, wherewith we were able to quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, then why not take it? Why go out half-dressed in the battle? And by the way, Joab's brother, I don't know how if I say his name right. You know, some of them names are, they just go, especially when I look at them, all of a sudden they go, whoop, okay. Is it Ahaziel who could run? Now, he's running after a guy who's fully armored. And the guy, Abner, says to him, go over and get some armor. He was one of the three mightiest. What's his problem? Why are you running against the enemy unprepared in battle? Well, you know what happened to him. Under the fifth rib, and there he lays. Think about that. But how many of God's people do the very same thing? You'll get up tomorrow. You will not put the armor on. Maybe it's because you don't believe. Maybe you don't believe you're in a war. I don't know. Maybe you don't believe that the armor is sufficient enough to protect you. I don't know. But Jesus says if you believe in God, you can believe also in me. And that includes every single promise in the Word. And there are a host of them. If you're troubled here tonight, you don't have to be. Do you know that? You don't have to be. That's the bottom line. You can come forward, bring it to the Lord Jesus, just as he said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Is that a guarantee? Is that a promise? So how do you want to leave? Troubled or restful? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, you know what a yoke is. But I believe that that verse is saying the fact that Jesus says, I have some yokes here. These are my yokes. Give me yours. Take one of mine and put it on you. Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus isn't in a yoke. But we have a cross to bear. We have to walk this life. And you know, there are things that you and I are going to go through. I'll go through things that you won't, and you'll go through things that I won't, but the only way we'll ever get through them is by taking Christ's yoke. What he's saying is, you take my yoke, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come first, I'll give you rest. Then you take my yoke, and you start traveling with my yoke, and then I'll give you rest unto your souls. It's like Philippians, the peace of God. It tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? And it says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. You know what the next word is? Do, and then what? And the God of peace shall be with you. Peace of God, God of peace. Take my yoke. Come, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. You'll have rest to your soul. You can leave here however you want. But Jesus says, if you're burdened, you don't have to leave with it. If you're troubled, you don't have to leave troubled. All you got to do is believe in me. Let's close in a word of prayer. Like every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know what you're going through in life. I do know that if you're living for the Lord, then you're facing challenges. Because the Bible tells us that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I do know that if you're a human being, your body's been affected by sin. Sin has taken its toll on all of us. And I do know that some people here have pain. Some people here have struggles. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know this, that Jesus can take care of it all. He can help you to go through this life victoriously. But the question is, how do you want to go? I mean, do you really believe he can help you? then why not let him? Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your love for every single one of us. Thank you for the fact that you cannot lie. That everything you tell us in your word, and there's such a host of it, that we have the guarantee of it. But we must, by faith, trust you. Step out and take you at your word. Father, if we're not willing to come, then nothing's going to happen. We're going to stay where we're at. We're going to go through the things that we're going through. We're going to have the struggles that we're going through. But if we come, then you'll help us go through each and every one of them. And your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray as we sing this invitation song tonight, Lord, that if there's anyone here that does not know Christ as Savior, I pray tonight they would be relieved of that burden and leave here knowing, without a doubt, that they're a child of God. I pray that if there's a child of God here tonight that's going through some struggles or some tests in their life, that they tonight will come, take you at your word, and find your rest. Lord, the opportunity is to everyone. Whosoever will may come.